and modern counterfeits. There's so much talk about faith, but very little understanding about what faith really is. Too many people think of faith as a blind leap into the dark. How many times have you heard people talking about, you know, just going to take a blind leap of faith? No, faith is nothing to do with a blind leap. A blind leap is the very opposite of reason and logic. All too many people think of faith as wishful thinking, along the lines of Disney's Wish Upon a Star, which I can assure you does not work. Others think of faith more like demanding your own way. Name it, claim it, frame it, gab it and grab it. Many people's understanding of faith has been confused by the bizarre antics of the hyper-faith gurus with their health and wealth visions and dreams, delusions and deceptions. As we do one-on-one personal evangelism on the streets and in the shopping malls, we have come across many people who claim, "I'm not interested. I've tried Christianity, but it didn't work. God didn't come through for me. I didn't get my healing. I didn't keep my healing. I didn't get that job. I didn't get that raise. I didn't win that competition. I didn't win the lottery." You might think I'm joking, but we've heard all those things on the streets of people rejecting Christianity because they say, "It didn't work. I didn't get the lottery." Can you believe it? Where did they get these ideas from? Proverbs 1 verse 31 says, "Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way, and they will be filled to the full with their own fancies." Much of what is being paraded and proclaimed, especially on TBN and God TV today, as Christianity is nothing of the sort. It's just people's fancies. It's dreams and delusions and deceptions. It would seem that many people today are confusing presumption with faith. And this is important for us to get. I'm not trying to be mean and criticize people who are public figures. What we're trying to do is help us to be able to communicate with people who think they have tried Christianity and it didn't work, to let them know that's not Christianity. Christianity is not magic. It's not manipulation. That is not what faith means. It's not a blind leap in the dark. It's not hyper-faith, name it and claim it, prosperity cult. That is not the gospel. And these people who think they're rejecting Christianity are actually rejecting perversions of Christianity, which have nothing to do with the real faith proclaimed by Jesus in the gospel. Genesis 16, we read of the presumption of Sarah and Abraham. In presuming that Sarah could give her maid Hagar to Abraham to conceive a child to fulfill God's promise that he could be the father of many nations, they set in train a disastrous series of events that continues to afflict us 4,000 years later. There is a way that seems right unto men, but the end thereof is the way of death. The presumption of Abraham and Sarah led to the birth of Ishmael. A wild man, his hand shall be against every man, every man's hand against him. To a large extent, the violence and hostility of Muslim Arab nations today is an ongoing legacy of that presumption 4,000 years ago. Abraham and Sarah conceived of a stupid plan which led to some of the worst persecution and violence and instability in the world to this day. That was presumption, not faith. In Numbers 14, we read of the negative report of 10 of the 12 scouts who explored the promised land. As a result, all the children of Israel complained against Moses and against Aaron and against the whole congregation. The whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness." That would have been better, apparently. The 10 unbelieving scouts reported back that while the land was flowing with milk and honey, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land which devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants. We were like grasshoppers in their sight." Only Joshua and Caleb gave a good report and said, "If the Lord delights in us, then he'll bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation of Israel said to stone them with stones. They wanted to stone Josh and Caleb because they gave a good report. They wanted to believe the evil reports of the unbelieving, negative, pessimistic judges, spies and scouts. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs that I performed amongst them?" Because of their unbelief, God condemned the children of Israel to wander in the wilderness. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you will bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. So God judged the unbelief by saying, "Then you will not enter the promised land. You will wander in the wilderness till your whole generation is dead. I'll bring a new generation into the land. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do to all this evil congregation who have gathered together against me. In the wilderness they will consume, and there they will die." However, despite this judgment from God, the people of Israel declared they would take the land. And they rose up early in the morning and went to the top of the mountain, saying, "Here we are, and we will go to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, "Now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not amongst you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword. Because you've turned away from the Lord, the Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in the mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Horman. So Numbers 14 gives us an example of presumption, not faith. And yet, a lot of what's being proclaimed today in many churches and many TV programs is this very presumption. To do things that God has said not to do, and to claim God's name in doing it. They presumed to go when God had forbidden them to go. Yet they claimed they're acting in accordance with the promise of God. But every promise comes with conditions, and they violated those conditions, and they were now disqualified. It's like somebody saying, "I'm part of the team." "No, but you broke the rules." Yeah, whether you took drugs, or whether you cheated, or you cut across the course, and now they say disqualified. And you say, "No, no, I'm part of the team." And you can't do that. You break the rules, you're off the team. The dictionary definition of presumption is when you believe something to be true without adequate proof. Presumptuous is to show little respect for others by doing things we have no right to do. Presumption is overstepping proper bounds, taking something for granted. Israel's rash attack following her rebellion and unbelief was presumptuous, and it was disastrous. In Acts 19, you read of another example of presumption. We read of the seven sons of Sceva, who were presumptuous in attempting to perform deliverance. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was jumped upon them and overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. So here you have these men presuming to do deliverance. "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out." A demon says, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" They were not exercising faith, they were exercising presumption. Here we see empty and powerless religion. The sons of Sceva were guilty of presumption. Presumption often flows from pride, arrogance, and insolence. And that, I'm sorry to say, is a lot of what has been proclaimed as faith today. Many people are proclaiming not biblical faith, but in fact, unbiblical presumption. Arrogant, proud, "I demand my healing. I claim that in the name of Jesus." That's not even polite. I mean, which of you wants your child to walk up and say, "I demand my breakfast. Give me this. I'm your child." That is rude. I mean, that child's going to get some serious discipline. That's insolence. That's rude. That's just stupidity. But this is what you see major big name televangelists doing now. They have this screaming, ranting and raving, and people think this is an example of faith. That is not an example of faith. That's an example of rudeness, idiocy, stupidity, arrogance, insolence. And these are often the role models being emulated. James 4 verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. Sometimes we don't ask because we ask in a wrong way. Or we're asking for the wrong thing. But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud. That is why in the way of the master, we teach people to give law to the proud and grace to the humble. How do you know when you have given enough of the law? When a people stop justifying themselves. When they stop saying, I'm a good person. I'm a really good person. I'm a very good person. When they justify the excuse, well, it wasn't really a sin. It was, you know, it was a mistake. I misspoke. I didn't lie. I misspoke. And when we justify ourselves, we're still being proud. We're not humble. God resists the proud. He gives grace to humble. When we stop being proud, when we become humble, then God shows grace to us. And we can start to share the way of salvation to people when they're saying, what must I do to be saved? A wretched man that I am. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. That's the attitude of the ones who receive grace. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, if the devil is not fleeing from us, then either we have failed to submit to God, or we're not resisting the devil, or both. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Many people proclaim faith today, but what they are offering is all too often fake faith. Many times what's being promoted is faith in faith. Isn't that right? You've got to believe in your belief. You've got to have faith in your faith. And it's basically magic. Biblical faith is about the object of that faith. You can have all the faith in the world. You can have all the faith in the universe. But if it's misdirected, it'll do no good. You can believe all you like that that poison is really Coca-Cola. Well, some people say Coca-Cola contains a lot of poison. But it doesn't matter how sincere faith is. The point is it true or not? You might say, well, I sincerely believe that this arsenic is good for me. It doesn't matter what you believe. What's the facts? If you have faith in the truth, then it will be justified. If you have faith in what is fake, it will not be. So the issue isn't your faith or the amount of faith, but the object, the direction, the centerpiece of your faith. In whom are you having faith? So it's not the amount of faith that matters, but it's Jesus Christ in whom our faith depends. Biblical faith is not cheap grace. It is not easy believism. It's not just believe, follow your heart, wish upon a star, speak it into existence. That's presumption. That is wishful thinking. That is demanding our own way. Taking scriptures out of context, that is manipulation. Biblical faith is not trite and trivial. Biblical faith is not materialistic. Biblical faith is not self-serving. Believe it or not, one of our first missionary co-workers with me, who's going into the field, when he was coming back from our first mission to Mozambique, his girlfriend, who later became his wife, put a fleece before the Lord. How's that for a nice spiritual sounding thing? That if the Lord wanted her boyfriend to remain in missions, then she would win a city golf, which was in a competition being offered through a newspaper. And would you know it, she didn't win it, so she knew that God didn't want him to continue in missions. Now how's that for a self-serving fleece? That's the kind of thing that you see a lot of people doing, and in a parade that is faith. And the trouble is, it's not just some pew warmer coming up to this. These are heads of major churches talking like this. You cannot claim healing as your right. The only right we have before Almighty God is to be condemned to hell for all eternity. If you demand justice, justice demands that a lawbreaker be condemned. Which of us can say, I've not broken any of God's laws ever? So if we demand our rights, then we can get eternal condemnation. That's our right. What we really want is grace, mercy, undeserved favor. God's law demands holiness and perfection. What we want is mercy. Grace, you could give as an alliteration, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. And we need faith to obtain it. Faith could stand for forsaking all, I trust Him. We have no right to claim promises that have conditions that we do not meet. Our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear in Mark 11:25, and wherever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. That your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. What are we taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Matthew 6:14, our Lord Jesus said, if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. And then he goes on, Matthew 6:15, say, but if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. How many people do you come across who will admit to all kinds of lying, stealing, cheating, blasphemy, adultery, and so on, but then say, but God will forgive me? But wait a minute, that forgiveness is conditional on repentance and on us forgiving those who have sinned against us. Now, of course, repentance involves conviction, contrition, conversion, change of mind, change of heart, change of life, change of behavior, forsaking, turning away from that sin. Many people don't want to fulfill the conditions, but they want to claim the benefits. That doesn't work. You can't come to a company where you haven't worked and claim your salary at the end of the month. Say, you're not even employed yet. You haven't worked yet. You don't have the right to claim anything from us. Who are you? And yet we've got people claiming, God will forgive me. Have you ever repented? You surrendered your life to Christ? Are you following him? Have you forgiven those who have sinned against you? No, but I claim their forgiveness. It doesn't work like that. It is presumptuous to claim promises for which we do not fulfill the conditions. Every promise comes in a context, and every promise comes with a condition. In Romans 6, the Apostle Paul condemns the presumptuous, the presumption of those who say we should continue to sin. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Apostle Paul responds, God forbid, certainly not. How shall we who have died to sin live any longer in it? Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, to popular culture, faith is hoping to win the lottery. Making a wish as you blow out your birthday candles, throwing a coin into a wishing well or a fountain. Isn't that what most people think of as faith? Pop culture thinks crossing your fingers, stroking a rabbit's foot will bring you luck. Listen, if the rabbit's foot was lucky, it would still be on the rabbit. A prominent televangelist gave an example of faith as he and his wife were driving to a shopping mall and praying for a parking lot close to entrance, and they saw one open up just in time for them. Now this, of what's called America's pastor, he's got a congregation of 34,000, who knows how many millions listen to his broadcast, and this is the example he was giving of faith and answers to prayer. That kind of trite, trivial, materialistic, self-serving presumption does not even come close to biblical faith. In a world where Christians are losing their lives and losing their heads literally, quite literally, for the gospel, it is tragic that there are those who can abuse the scriptures and ignore the great commands and call the calls for brave and bold biblical action, ignore that, and turn to some kind of Hollywood magic genie, wishing upon a star, following your heart's delusions. Foolishness is all too often masquerading as faith. Presumption is superseding scriptural principles and making vital choices. No amount of talent, no amount of eloquence can make something acceptable to God that he has condemned in scripture. So, how can we know the will of God? By listening carefully to his word, by studying the Bible. How can we please God? By obeying his word. Biblical faith is trust in the sovereignty of God. surrender to the Lordship of Christ, obedience to the Word of God, willingness to sacrifice for the Kingdom of God. Biblical faith is not trusting that I can demand from God what I want, but trusting that if I obey God's commands, even when it looks like this could bring serious consequence for me, trusting in His sovereignty, that I am responsible to obey and the consequences are in God's hands. That's biblical faith. Determination to follow God, to seek first the kingdom of God, following in the footsteps of Christ, putting biblical duty first. Biblical faith is the courage to overcome our fears. Boldness to obey God in spite of all opposition. Perseverance in spite of setbacks. Discernment as to what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are warned in Scripture to test all things, to examine yourself, to see whether you're in the faith. Faith is an intelligent step into the light. It is not a leap into the dark. That is paganism. Christianity is not faith in faith. It is faith in facts. Faith is based on facts. Faith and reason are friends. We have a reasonable faith. The amount of Christians test me that are idiotic. We get continually this whole example of, it made no sense, so I knew it was God. Or, all I ever wanted to do was medicine, so I knew that God wanted me to give up medicine and go and be a plumber. And this kind of irrational thing. I always said, God, I'll serve you anywhere, but not in Africa. So where'd God send me? Africa. And this kind of testimony, where it makes it look like God is irrational, and if it doesn't make sense, there's got to be God. Idiocy is not intelligent. And yet today we've got a deifying of stupidity in a lot of the church, and a literal turning from knowledge and discernment into ignorance, and embracing ignorance and stupidity, and elevating that as though that now is the ideal of faith. We have a reasonable faith. From Exodus 4 to Exodus 14, we read of 10 great supernatural attacks on the false religions of Egypt, the 10 plagues. In Exodus 14:31, thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. So here you can see, faith is based on facts. They saw the facts and they believed. And they feared God. Biblical faith is not blind. Faith in the Bible is based on facts. In 1 Corinthians 15 verse 17, the Apostle Paul teaches, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. That's a shocking statement. Faith does not reject evidence. The truth of Christianity is based on historic events. Truth that cannot be tested by reason and evidence is invalid. Our faith can be tested by truth and reason and evidence. Active biblical faith depends on historic events that can be investigated. In John 20:27, our Lord Jesus Christ declared to Thomas, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hands here. Put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. Jesus didn't just say, close your eyes and have blind faith, Thomas. No. Look at the evidence. Feel the evidence. Test it. Dr. Luke begins his gospel. Luke 1, verse 1 to 4. Inasmuch as many have taken hand to set in order a narrative of these things which have been fulfilled amongst us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to them, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, that you may know the certainty of these things in which you were instructed. Christianity is a reasonable faith founded in historic events that can be investigated and confirmed. And you can take our leaflet at the back on Christ is risen, evidences for the resurrection. As you can see, how many skeptics determined to investigate the evidences for the resurrection to disprove Christianity and were converted as a result. Like the founder of the Harvard Law School, Rules of Evidence, Simon Greenfield, who, as an unbelieving Jew, always taught his students, never make up your minds about a case until you've investigated the evidence. And one brave student said to him, but sir, have you ever investigated the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And he felt humiliated in front of his students that he had violated his cardinal tenets. So he undertook, Simon Greenfield undertook a thorough investigation of all evidence, hoping to disprove the resurrection of Christ and save his intellectual integrity before students. And he ended up being converted to Christ and publishing the book, The Testimony of the Evangelists, where he said it was impossible, therefore, that they could have died for Christ, every one of them, if it had not been true, and if it had not been absolutely true, if they had not known these facts as surely as they knew any fact. If the evidence for the resurrection was present before any court of law in the world would have to find in favour of the resurrection as a historic fact, said Simon Greenleaf, founder of the Harvard Law School Rules of Evidence. Evidence that demands a verdict, written by Josh McDowell, Who Moved the Stone, by Morrison, many others, were sceptics looking into the evidence and being converted by the facts. Hebrews 11 is often called the Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then biblical examples of faith are given throughout Hebrews 11. Noah building the ark, stocking provisions in the ark for a great multitude of animals. Now that is faith. An enormous undertaking requiring diligent hard work over decades. That is faith. Abraham, eager to obey God, leaving home, leaving safety, leaving everything he knows, going to a great distance to an unknown land where God led him, willing to sacrifice even that which was most precious to him in obedience to God. That is faith. Joseph is in the Hall of Faith, Hebrews 11. Faithful to God, despite being betrayed by his wicked brothers into slavery, despite being wrongly accused, fleeing temptation, thrown into prison unjustly, yet remaining steadfast, faithful, and God raised him up to be governor of Egypt. Joseph is an example of faith. The mother of Moses defied Pharaoh's order to kill her newborn infant and saved his life. That's faith. Joshua and Caleb did not follow the majority. The majority is always wrong, as Don McIlvaney pointed out last night. The majority chose to crucify Christ. The majority chose Barabbas. Democracy in action. But Joshua and Caleb did not follow the majority, but were bold and brave enough to remain faithful to the Lord, even when the mob of Israelites wanted to stone them to death for their positive report. God rewarded them, and they alone of their generation entered the promised land. Young David is in the Hall of Faith. Why? The young shepherd boy showed faith by walking into the valley of the shadow of death to confront the giant Philistine Goliath with only his sling and his shepherd's staff. You come with your spear, your shield, and your javelin. I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you have defied. Daniel exiles true biblical faith by refusing to compromise his principles as an exile in a heathen land. He refused the food offered to idols. He still prayed by his window despite the edict to pray to no one but the king. He was thrown to the lion's den where God preserved him. Daniel is an example of faith. The three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they displayed true biblical faith when they refused to bow before the heathen idol. And they declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, our God whom we serve is able to save us, and he will. But even if he doesn't, we still will not bow before your idols, nor will we serve your gods. And God didn't protect them from the flames, but in the flames. They still were thrown in the fiery furnace, but the Lord was there with them, and they came out unharmed. The Apostle Peter displayed biblical faith when he stood before the Sanhedrin. The same Sanhedrin that had condemned the Lord Jesus Christ to death. And Peter defied their command to not speak in the name of Jesus. But Peter answered and said, we ought to obey God and not men. Hebrews 11 verse 32 says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, who worked righteousness, who obtained promises, who stopped the mouths of lions, who quenched the violence of the flames, who escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received the dead back, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. You might wonder, what are they doing in the hall of faith? It's not just successes in the hall of faith. Faith is being faithful to God even in the midst of what seems like failure from a human perspective. They were stoned, sawn in two, were tempted, slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these having obtained a good testimony through faith. So Hebrews 11 does not give you the examples being portrayed on God TV and TBN and Faith Broadcasting Network and all these other false prophet agencies that are promoting modern counterfeits. Biblical faith is obedience, courage, boldness, action. Here in this most important chapter on faith, Hebrews 11, which defines faith as being the substance of things which we hope for, the evidence of things not seen, diligently seeking God. Hebrews 11 gives these great examples of faith. Noah, Abraham, Moses, Gideon, David, men of obedience and action. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We read in James 2:17. The Bible speaks of taking up the shield of faith, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Faith is something strong, substantial, like a metal shield that can put out the fiery darts of the wicked one. We command you to fight the good fight of faith. There is no passivity here. When you study the scriptures, it is clear that biblical faith is so far removed from fake faith, presumptuous, manipulative, materialistic, magical, wishful thinking, demanding your own way, wishing upon a star. Follow your heart. Trite, trivial, self-serving counterfeits which are being peddled in all too many churches and on all too many TV channels today. Hollywood keeps telling you to follow your heart. The Bible tells us only the fool follows his heart. Proverbs 28:26, a good verse to memorize. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Now there is a verse you won't hear quoted too much on TV. Because what's the message of about 100 Disney films? Follow your heart. Only a fool follows his heart. You cannot trust your emotions. Often the right thing to do is what your heart is afraid of. Your heart's saying, no. But we've got to do what we know is right, even if our emotions are screaming no. Emotions are to be subservient. We are going to have faith in God's word, and we're going to do what is right. We're not going to listen to our cowardly emotions squealing, and we might have to drag them screaming to the altar of sacrifice, but we will not have our lives run by follow your heart. That is the pathway to disaster. Having faith in a good conscience, which some having rejected concern the faith, have suffered shipwreck. I don't know if you can imagine how much disaster, chaos, and loss of life and property is involved in a shipwreck. A ship sinking is a catastrophe. Many lives affected, many lives lost, vast amounts of property investment lost down at the bottom of the sea, Davy Jones Locker. If you reject a good conscience, you will make a shipwreck of your faith. Faith and a good conscience will bring us safely into God's harbor. However, those who reject biblical faith and their conscience will suffer shipwreck. And that's why we find people on the streets who say, I'm not interested in this Christianity. I tried it. I didn't win the lottery. Didn't work. Those people didn't have faith. They followed their heart. They wished upon a star. They suffered shipwreck. That is why we are told in Scripture the just shall live by his faith. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Faith requires us seeking God. You will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. Faith and obedience go together. We just sung, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That is so true. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. This is God's telephone number. If somebody asks, What's God's number? You say, take this down. Jeremiah 2:9-13. That is God's telephone number. You want to get hold of God? Dial Jeremiah 2:9-13. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of God's anger. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. To whom he knocks, it will be opened. So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that he might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are surrounded by a great cloud of faithful witnesses, examples of excellence, victorious Christians who have changed the world. Their example should inspire us to lay aside those burdens, repent, and break from those sinful habits and addictions that have ensnared us, so that we can run with faith, with endurance. Biblical faith requires action. It is more like a race than a self-serving passivity so often palmed off as faith. Many people are sitting doing absolutely nothing. Couch potatoes. Well, I'm waiting on the Lord. No, they're not waiting on the Lord. They're waiting on the Lord. They'd be out there doing something. A lot of this, I'm waiting on the Lord, is just an excuse for laziness and lack of faith. We are to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It is the object of our faith, Jesus Christ, who is of supreme importance. The issue is not how much faith you have, but who are you exercising your faith in? Do not settle for less than God's best. In my own life, I've seen how faith requires action. A missionary advised me before I went in the army, make your stand for Christ early and boldly. And so that's why on the first Sunday, I asked the chaplain if I could speak. And standing up in front of hundreds of men, said, I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, and I want to honor him in my next 2 years here. If anyone else feels the same, please come and see me afterwards. Let's start a Bible study and a prayer fellowship. Now that was a hard stand to make at that moment, but it was absolutely essential for my spiritual life, and that's where Frontline Fellowship was born, in that Bible study and prayer fellowship in the South African Infantry. And that faith led me to launch missions across the board into closed communist and Muslim lands, starting on a motorbike, along terrible roads, camping out in the bush, laying out a sleeping bag in the sand, and heading out into these war zones. Exterior decorating by Gorbachev and Sons. To churches who had no buildings. The communists had burned their buildings, but didn't stop them gathering to pray and worship the Lord. To proclaim the gospel in mosques, in terror spaces. To debate Muslim leaders like Ahmadinejad at the Islamic Propagation Center International in Durban, the largest mosque in the Southern Hemisphere. Faith in my life has meant singing in prison cells, singing in chains, flying behind enemy lines across no-fly zone areas into the Nuba Mountains of Central Sudan during the war in Sudan. Walking amongst the Nuba, putting feet to your faith, getting them Bibles, trusting Lord for the resource to get the Bibles printed. And we've smuggled over 500,000 Bibles into Sudan since 1995 by God's grace and mercy. That's faith. Faith expects you to put your boots on and to get out there and walk and work, even if the terrain is pretty bad. Faith is not us attempting to manipulate God to get what we want. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. Praise God that his answers to prayer are more intelligent than our prayers. Imagine if God had gave us everything that we'd asked for. Some of the things we asked for were not very intelligent. Looking back, I can think of some things I prayed for. I just say, praise God you didn't answer that stupid prayer of mine. At the time it seemed so important to me, but it was wrong. God had better. Many of our prayers are really not that intelligent. We've got to trust God's answers, which sometimes is no, or not yet. We could not see behind the scenes and what the consequences could be, but God does. We need to trust God, and this means studying His Word and obeying His commands. Trusting God is not the kind of mindless testimonies average Christians giving these days. Trusting God is studying the Bible and obeying it. That's trusting God. Even when the consequence seems to be dire, don't look for a sign, read your Bible. Pop culture faith might be expressed in entering a competition to win an iPhone. And then going out and buying a case of the iPhone, presuming that you're going to win the iPhone. That is not biblical faith, that is presumption. Biblical faith would be to work, to save enough money to buy the iPhone, and then after ordering it and receiving confirmation of receipt of payment and tracking details of the item mailed to you, you then receive confirmation from the post office that your parcel has arrived, and then on the way to the post office, you could stop and buy a cover for your iPhone in faith. You haven't yet seen the iPhone, you don't have it in your hand, but you have enough evidence that you will soon have it in your hand, and so in faith you can buy the cover for the iPhone. That is biblical. Reject the counterfeits. Faith is not magic, nor is it manipulation and presumption. All too many people are mistaking God for the magic genie. Rub him up enough way, give him enough faith, and he'll pop out and say, "Your wish is my command." That is the gospel according to Hollywood, not the Bible. Actually, it's the other way around. God is not our servant. We're to be His servant. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is God. We are not. Neither is God Father Christmas. He's not just there to give us gifts. I want, give me, give me, give me. No. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He is our eternal Judge. We are to worship, serve, honor, and obey Him. In church history, think of the great examples of faith. Dr. Martin Luther standing before the assembled political and religious might of Europe saying, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God." William Carey, launching the modern missionary era, sailing for India, campaigning against infanticide, widow burning, establishing schools, translating the scriptures into 35 languages, for goodness sakes. Have you ever heard of anything like this before? Setting captives free, winning souls for Christ, and a sermon that launched the modern missionary movement, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. That is faith. Dr. David Livingstone, whose quote we've got up on the wall over here. Can that be called a sacrifice, which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. David Livingstone, training in medicine, in theology, sailing through Africa, walking across the continent, 26 years, boots on the ground, ministering across Africa, setting captives free, healing bodies, saving souls, proclaiming the gospel, challenging Christians to dedicate their lives to fulfilling the Great Commission. That is faith. And that's why we have our mission house called Livingstone House, and why David Livingstone is lifted up as the gold standard for us to follow. Biblical faith is bold and brave, and biblical faith has boots on. Do not settle for less than God's very best. As the hymn that we began this Bible study with declares, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.